Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons stars in the new MGM Plus original series, The Westies.
There it is, Javits Center.
Biggest construction project in the history of New York falls into the lap of the Irish.
This Irish crime gang built New York City on blood, sweat, and loyalty. Their legend is true.
The Italians outnumber us about 100 to 1.
Their story is criminal.
This Irish guy's threatening war.
He's gotta go.
Keep out of Hell's Kitchen.
The Westies. Watch now. Only on MGM Plus.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
It's why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Rhodes? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
You get our son.
Happy birthday, Polly.
Oh, no, I got some. Well, I'm the Joker, baby.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 244. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Trill Bonds. We're coming at you on a Sunday. Sunday episode, second episode of April. The usual happening. It's another quarantine episode. So we're reviewing The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen today from 2002, a classic tale of classic characters. And it does mean that how long until we get to the review? Probably like, what, 30 minutes, 30, 40 minutes?
Roughly.
So I got like 40 minutes to think of a spin zone for why I thought this was a good movie, right?
Enjoy.
I don't know how the defense this movie is going to go, but I'm going to do my best.
wait, is it Court of Trill?
No.
Just trying to defend it because
I feel like you and I,
good.
Yeah, Trill, you and I were a little more positive discussing this movie than Ken Jack. We've been talking about this movie for a while now.
I don't think I've never seen it before watching it this time. I don't know
really?
How it could have been positive.
I thought you for sure said it was good.
Maybe it's just me. I'm okay. Maybe it's me. We were going to have Large on, by the way, as a guest, but Large is going to come on the middle of the week. We're going to do GoldenEye in the middle of the week, and then James Bond rankings as well. So we're going to hold off on that. Today, we're just going to talk League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, some Sean Connery. We're going to recast the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen if it used 21st century characters. So current big movie characters. So we'll match up anyone with Alan Quatermain, who... Oh. It's the most repeated name in the history of a movie ever.
They do like, it's a cool name. I don't blame them for
it's
that.
It's like they had a quota. They're like, you can only use the character. You must use his name no less than 300 times in the script.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. What's happening otherwise? What's going on?
You got a dog.
I did get a dog. I got a Shih Tzu puppy.
Why'd you do that?
Been it says guy with multiple dogs.
Yeah, but I have a yard. I can just let them out the
it's
back
true.
Door. You have to like walk down stairs and shit in a city that's locked down. Sounds
under
awful.
Quarter mean.
It's a pain, but many people in the city do have dogs. I've been wanting a puppy for a while, but
that's good.
Impossible to do with the work from the office experience because I'm just not one to be like, I'll leave the dog at home, let a walker do it, like let a dog walker do it, or bring it to a dog care. Like I'd rather the dog get to know me. And beyond that, very expensive in New York City. So this has presented the opportunity to do it myself. So
good job.
Yeah.
Now, you gave it the most 27-year-old naming a dog name possible.
Mimosa. Yeah. It was going to be Oscar if it was a boy. But
it's your money. You have the money. You might not know that reference, Trill. Never mind.
The Oscar.
You take the money.
The Oscar thing is, it would have been obviously Academy Awards, but also Larry David Nane had a dog Oscar in a season of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I feel like if you get a dog when you're like 22, you name it Jaeger. And then you get a, to get a dog when you're 27, you name it Mimosa. And then you get a dog when you're like 33 and you name it like Haley.
Haley. I don't
or
like
or Bailey.
Or, I don't like people who name their animals people names. Like I had a friend who named his cat Matt, who like that to me is just so weird. Like that's such a human, like distinctly human name to me that like I just don't like that. It needs to be some sort of gimmicky name.
Yeah, yeah. I have a buddy who had a dog, Bilbo.
Yeah, see, gimmicky. That works.
Yeah, I have a friend, his wife. She bought a pug. It's Pizza the pug. He listens to the pod. Shout out Parker. He's listening right now.
Does Pizza have its own Instagram page?
Oh yeah, Pizza.
Pizza the pug sounds like they have their own Instagram page.
Pizza the pug has an Instagram page. Yep. Yeah.
I think it's you wanted to have it a name where you don't mind screaming it in public if you accidentally lose the dog. Because if you're running around the neighborhood yelling Matt, like they think you lost your child or something. But like if your name yelling Pizza, I think they at least think it's an animal of some sort.
Chad.
Yeah.
What are you yelling for? My dog Chad.
It's my dog Chad. It's my dog Josh. It's my dog Mike. Yeah. Like,
Juice
should be a great name for a dog. I need to rewatch Future Man again.
Oh. What? Other than my dog, which I'll have to show it to you guys. A dog will make an appearance on live stream. Big live stream week, by the way. We're actually being joined by a bunch of people. Barstool, we haven't done stuff with Eddie. Haven't had who else hasn't been on? That's coming on this week. PFT, Kirk, bunch Break of people we haven't had. We're also having Greg Grunberg of many different things, from Heroes to Star Wars. But for the sake of Star Wars, J.J. Abrams' old best friend gets to be in all of J.J.'s stuff. He was Snap Wexley in the sequel trilogy. I think, if I do recall correctly, he had a very fiery demise in the space battle at the end of Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. He's going to be watching Rogue One with us this upcoming Tuesday the 7th. So we're very excited about that. First, hopefully, many things we're doing with Greg, so just a little tease there. But other than that, schedule, what are you watching? Anything? I'll ask again. Any reading yet? Have we resorted to reading?
Nah.
Okay. Good. Good. Just making sure.
I almost started reading something.
Oh,
what?
It was. It's like some statistics book, or something like that.
Gross.
Yeah, I know.
All the things to start reading.
No, but it's like I've taken many statistics courses. And I've worked in many statistics adjacent, but yet not directly related fields. But every 3 years, I need a refresher on things like p-value, how that works. Because my mind can't retain it.
Those are annoying. I remember statistics in college and just like theoretically, it just sounds like such a cool course to figure out like just how, like what people like and stuff like that. But then like once you learn how to actually do it in practice, it's just
well, like you hear statistics and if you're a sports fan, you think like fucking yeah. Billy Beane's gonna walk into class and teach you Moneyball, but it's not that
exactly. It's boring. I started watching 90 Day Fiance, and I'll tell you what, these people, it's either very scripted or very, these people are so dumb. It's
that I've seen bits of that show, not a fan, but for the reasons that you said, fucking wild show though.
These people are some of the dumbest people I think I've ever seen in my life. Like the one dude I was watching this most recent episode, he's been married 3 times. He lives in Kentucky and he goes like, yeah, I've been married and divorced 3 times. So naturally I'm just out of people to date here in Kentucky. So I had to go to Eastern Europe. It's like, yeah, that's the natural progression of things. You marry 3 people from Kentucky.
Well, that's the Morgan Spurlock effect.
Yeah.
Just the big leap of, I got rid of the supersized fry, now I'm off to get Bin Laden.
Off to just find Bin Laden. These people are so dumb, it's unreal.
I've watched some Bravo. I've gotten hooked on Summer House on Bravo. Usually Bravo or Food Network will be on above me while I'm editing or up late doing some stuff. And it's just a bunch of New York people who live in the Hamptons, ranging from the age of 26 through 34. They live in the Hamptons on the weekends during the summer. That's really it. That's the extent of the show. So I've gone into new reality spaces, but still have not watched anything new scripted wise. No scripted shows.
Yeah, fuck. Wait,
I started watching Schitt's Creek.
It's good. I've heard that's very good.
It's very, very funny.
Yeah, I'm on episode 2, so I haven't gone too far. I enjoyed that. I got a lot of continue watching. I got Dirty Money. This is on Netflix. Ozark, Schitt's Creek, The Crown, Altered Carbon, Ugly Delicious.
Oh, I watched Or for the first time in a long time. I think we should do a review of that because that movie is unreal.
That's
like
what?
At The Core, you ever see that movie, Aaron Eckhart?
Yes. I almost threw it up for a vote, but I just didn't think it was going to get voted in. I would love to do The Core.
I rewatched it yesterday, and there's that movie I think would be a great review because it's a great time capsule into like the early 2000s. I think you would enjoy it quite a bit, Troll.
So let's do it not this week, but the week after, because I sorry if this offends anyone, but I believe GoldenEye falls in the bad category.
GoldenEye, definitely, you look on it with rose petal or rose colored glasses or whatever because of the video game. The actual movie is not very good.
Yeah, so I think so. That's the bad review this week. We'll do a good one Sunday, but maybe we'll do The Core the week after.
Mm.
I think that fits in. All right.
I just sent a screen cap from the movie The Core, in which they go to a cyber cafe, and the guy's hair. It's just an incredible time. I think you would enjoy it, Troll. It's just very fun to watch.
Did I ever tell you I used to go to a cyber cafe in Broad Ripple, Indiana called Netheads when I was in high school? And I would play.
Still around?
No, there's no way.
I was being sarcastic.
That's where I had Ball's energy drink for the first time.
Oh,
but actually, really? It was a cool place. They're just a bunch of PCs and you could rent time on it and you played. I mean, obviously, it's what they were.
Wait, did you play games on them or do you just browse? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was like you could do like, you know, you could play with your friends and like get a bunch of people going there
like
and
get LAN
parties without having to tote your computer everywhere. It was cool. But like one time I got on a computer and somebody had left their AIM logged in. And that was when prank season began.
Prank season.
Can you go into what pranks were pulled?
I think like... I don't remember. It's really lame. It wasn't like good pranks. It's just stupid shit. Like you just AIM someone and say, we're breaking up. And they'd be like, what? And you just hope for a hit. It's like Battleship, you know?
I remember in college when my friends would leave their Facebook logged in or whatever, everyone would always do the dumb shit. Like they'd do like memes or write a Facebook status. Like, yeah, I'm gay. I'm this, I'm blah, blah, yes, some stupid shit. That's what I was trying to dance around saying, but that's what everyone would say. What I would do is I would go in and I would make it, I would like write on someone's wall, something weird, but believable, like where it's just very strange. Like I went on one of my friends and like went on his sister's wall and wrote like, hey, sis, comma, just letting you know, I had a really weird dream about you. Where you were you were a gazelle in the Sahara and I was a lion and I took you down and feasted on your flesh. It was just really just like off-puttingly weird. And that I think is way more devastating than some dumbass status like everyone else would do.
I miss messing with people's away messages on Instant Messenger. Yeah. That was the real fuck you, Zuckerberg. That was before Mark Zuck. That was before smoking meats. You just go into their away message and you put like pooping.
Smoking these meats.
Roasted.
I miss putting lyrics from Pearl Jam's Black into my away message and hoping that my ex-girlfriend would see it.
I did that with you too once. That's way worse than Pearl Jam.
Yeah, because she's not even looking at your profile. She already took you off your list and she's already chatting with the new guy she's banging.
Yeah, she didn't see me posting the lyrics to Mysterious Ways. It's kind of rough. She works in Mysterious Ways, man. Great guitar line, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember I had for a while, remember buddy icons in the corner of your window?
Site dedicated to buddy icons, dude.
I had a great Austin Powers buddy icon.
What was edgy? What was your guy's aim mats?
My aim name?
Yeah.
I can't tell you.
Okay. Mine was, I think, Arsenal and my birthday because I was a big Arsenal fan at the time.
I had two. I had, I believe the first one was Brown's Boy. And then I had a Jeff Garcia and Kellen Winslow based one, the future of the NFL.
Oh boy.
One guy super not good. The other, the Jeff Garcia Browns experiment, infamous. Great 1 year experience that was. Yeah.
Yep. The ice cream guy and then also the I'm a soldier guy. That's what everyone remembers Kellen Winslow for, right?
Mine was much closer to my name though, and later on, like middle school, high school, sure. It was some rather simple.
It actually would have been really funny if all of your ads were at Jeff D. Lowe even back then.
Yes, you're just very protective of your own personal brand.
You're six years old making a name.
I joined Twitter on the day we actually last recorded on the 1st of April, 11 years ago. 11 years ago, I joined Twitter.
Yeah. Jesus, dude.
I remember I made mine, I think, my freshman year of college, and then just didn't use it again for like 3 years. Never touched it. When did you make True Bones?
2013. Gotcha. October 2013.
I purged a lot of my old tweets, so I didn't get DMCA strikes. I'm pretty sure I'm like one or two away from getting my account shut down, but you can't find these, but my original tweets were definitely at Mike Bill Simmons. That's basically what I ever had Twitter for.
Well, I used to tweet under my like real name because I don't know like why. And then I kind of saw the absurdity of Twitter. I was like, you know, it'd be more fun if you just fucked around on here.
Yeah.
And then there was a good couple year run where you can do that, but then things got too serious on the site. The fucking around led to people getting sued.
Milkshake duck.
And people getting swatted and shit like that. Not even milkshake duck. Like, I'm just talking like there was a time before I feel like Twitter was, it was kind of like when the brands were like trying to get into it, but they still weren't fully welcome. And I felt the same way about like, I don't know, people who were like in the media, like it was still this outside platform. And then now like they all moved in and it's their platform now. So it fucking sucks.
Adam Schefter and Bill Simmons were like two of the first guys. I got Adam Schefter on my freshman year college radio show. I tweeted him a stat about the Browns he used on Sunday Countdown. I was like, all right. He's like, thanks for this. I'm like, yeah, can you come on my college radio show? And I was like, that was like my first big Twitter memory. That's when I started tweeting more.
Yeah, but it's also like when they started giving out blue check marks to people who worked at like the Des Moines
CBS
Post affiliate and had like less than 500 followers just because they have like a media account. Like, come on. Fucking it's obviously a different platform, but there was a good year. Couple of years where it was a place you could actually have fun. Now it's the whole ecosystem around it that I also think as a 35-year-old man I shouldn't have time for, and I don't. You know, when I was 29, it made more sense, but now it's just kind of like stupid.
Plus, you got the baby.
What's the baby? But it's. You think about like how much time people put in it, how many of the same jokes probably still get told. Like there was a period of originality, and I feel like now it's a dying platform, and it's going to take years for it to actually die out. But I think all the blood's been squeezed out of the turnip in terms of the novelty of the platform itself. And I do think part of like that's why you're seeing the explosion of TikTok is because like a new medium, a new vehicle always presents unique and funnier ways to make content. And I feel like Twitter's days are kind of behind it just in terms of being able to provide.
Hey, man, that's what they said about Vine. And Vine died.
Yeah, but...
Same owner, too.
TikTok is kind of like spiritually Vine, though.
Yeah, no, it's right? The same. It's definitely the same, in the same spirit as it. But TikTok fucking stinks, man.
I don't know. I feel like the TikTok videos I see are pretty funny. It's
yeah, but that's because Twitter, you get everything filtered through to Twitter. Like only the good stuff from TikTok makes it to Twitter. All of the bad stuff, which is a majority of the platform, stays there. So like unless you're scrolling it, you don't know like the full depths of what everyone's doing. You know what I mean?
When I started like realizing that like I hated Twitter was when like everybody who I like has been born and raised in New York and lives in Brooklyn started.
Y'all
beginning their tweets with y'all.
Yeah,
like okay, y'all, what are y'all's favorite barbecue places?
Oh man, that was what a great time that was.
Listen up, y'all, like you look at their like bio, it's like born and raised New York City, went to
Elon
Columbia, like okay y'all,
went to Wesleyan and came back to New York City.
But
they went on, they went to Penn, and then they went on like one spring break trip to New Orleans. And they're like, yeah, what's up, y'all?
I took a summer symposium at Stanford. It was study abroad. Okay, y'all. Does anybody have any good recipes for biscuits?
Oh, like the, what do you call it? The Facebook making food videos. Those ones are always tough. Oh. All right, let's talk some movies.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just complaining now. old man yells at cloud.
This episode brought to you by Mac Weldon. Are you lounging around right now? I mean, the chances are you are and should be. Stay inside. Mac Weldon, their mission is simple. Make sure all your basics are smartly designed, and shopping for them is very easy and convenient. Mack Weldon has some of the softest stuff you'll ever find in terms of loungewear, just pants, joggers, underwear, t-shirts, great fabrics, hoodies. I mean, again, look, maybe some people like getting really dressed up, and actually you can get dressed up in Mack Weldon stuff to get the day started and your work from home. But I don't know, if you work from home, be comfortable. So get some Mack Weldon socks, shirts, hoodies, underwear, adjustable rain jacket. If you're going out in the rain here, it's springtime, rain's starting to happen all over the country. Not that it doesn't during the fucking winter. But it's great quality. It lasts a while. It'll last you long after quarantine's over. You definitely want to wear Mack Weldon, especially right now while you're inside. It's a smart design, premium fabrics, easy to shop for, and it breathes really well too. So even when it's getting warmer, a lot of their longer stuff is still going to be pretty good. You do want Mack Weldon stuff. And that's why they've created, by the way, a Mack Weldon loyalty program called Weldon Blue. Create an account totally free, place an order for any amount, and never pay for shipping again. Once you purchase $200 worth of products from Mack Weldon, not only will you continue to receive free shipping, but you also start saving 20% on every order you make for the next year. Also grant you access to new products before they're released. You don't want to miss out on this great deal from Mack Weldon signing up. You also get 20% off your first order when you enter promo code LIGHTS, LIGHTS, at MackWeldon.com. I've been wearing this stuff long before we had the podcast because they used to sponsor, and I think they still do, the Weekly Planner from Mr. Sunday Movies. So I've been wearing Mack Weldon stuff for quite a while. So this is beyond just a personal endorsement. This has been that for a while. So MackWeldon.com, MackWeldon.com, promo code LIGHTS, 20% off first order, sign up for the loyalty program, and it will benefit you. Be comfy in quarantine. Come on. That's what's most important. A lot of movie delays, like official. We knew the delays. We didn't know the dates. 2020 delays include Mulan going to July 24th. That seems a little ambitious. Candyman, September 25th. Black Widow now moves from May to November 6th. The French Dispatch, the new Wes Anderson movie, moves to October 16th. Free Guy, the, I guess, almost like Grand Theft Auto-ish type video game reality movie of Ryan Reynolds, that's December 11th. 2021 will now have The Eternals. The Eternals moves from the fall to next year. Shang-Chi will be released in May. Jungle Cruise gets pushed back an entire year to June 2021. And Doctor Strange will now open later on in the year, November 5th, 2021. And then Indiana Jones 5 moves to July 2029. 2022 is also going to be the home of Thor Love and Thunder, which will go in February after moving from 2021 to 2022. New Mutants, no date yet.
Go figure.
I have no idea what they're going to do with New Mutants. And finally, Artemis Fowl. Ready for this trill?
I am.
Disney Plus.
I'm ready for that. I'm going to watch it now.
We will. We will be reviewing Artemis Fowl. I'm like,
we got to.
Because at that point,
what the fuck else are we going to do?
At that point, it's a new movie. I don't care what it is. I would love for New Mutants. New Mutants, we will 100% do a live watch of New Mutants if it gets dropped online. That'll be awesome. That'll be a really fun way to watch that movie. Artemis Fowl, maybe we will. I don't know. Maybe we watch Artemis Fowl live. Like a live. I don't know. We'll think about it. That's not a promise. Please do not make that sound like a promise. It wasn't. I promise that for New Mutants if it gets streaming. Artemis Fowl, I can't promise that. But Artemis, we will Fowl, review it.
A bird.
Imagine watching us watch Josh Gad fart, like a fart power live. Special.
I would love to.
That's what people have been looking for. Nothing too shocking here. Obviously, it's a bummer. You're going to have to wait a little longer for things. But, I mean, it's not much of a surprise. I like the Artemis Fowl thing. And I'm curious what other big movies are going to hit streaming, because I don't think that's the last one, I would imagine. I think there are going to be some others. And I also think the Mulan July 24th is ambitious.
That's really ambitious. I don't see the theaters opening back up before the fall. And even before a vaccine, maybe even at all. Maybe that's too aggressive. But here's what I think they'll have to do. I think they're going to have to seat every other seat for like non-families or non-parties, and then they're going to have to do every other row or something. There's going to be some sort of like distancing just to get people to feel comfortable going into the theaters. But I still think July is too aggressive for that one.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that it's kind of a weird choice only because Mulan, out of almost all of these choices, has the most like potential to make money overseas, obviously, especially in China. And China being ground zero for this, like they should be pushed back like probably the fucking furthest, so that they have the most time to recover from everything.
I don't know. I mean, who knows what's going on there? I'm just friends of the world.
No, everything's good. Nothing to see here. It's literally that fucking GIF. It's like, nothing to see here, folks. Only like 2,000 infections, we promise. You know, 21 million phone subscribers are offline now in Wuhan. It's crazy.
That I think is that phone thing. I think is specifically an issue of demand driven data farming, or you know what I'm saying? Because okay. they have those phone farms there. Have you ever seen pictures of them?
Yeah, where, like from Silicon Valley.
Yeah, but yeah, the numbers obviously don't line up with what are being reported.
Yeah.
What I want to know most about these is which of these movies do they care about the most in terms of box office? Like, what's the sign, right? Black Widow, all the Marvel stuff moved basically a cycle, right? They all just moved up a bit. They didn't do anything drastic with any of the releases. Captain Marvel 2 got confirmed, but like nothing got crazy. Jungle Cruise moved an entire year. I'm curious like what the thought process is behind a lot of that, because that was the biggest move out of any of them, maybe with the exception of Artemis Fowl, which was straight to streaming. But I'm curious, like, what do you think the thought process behind Jungle Cruise is?
Because that's a summer movie.
But is that to, like, save it a little? Like, I don't know. To save it? Because The Rock is still – The Rock can be a Christmas guy. The Christmas season this year is not that packed.
Yeah, but it's the vibe of the Jungle Cruise itself. It's a summer vibe. That's yeah, like but, a yeah. – I feel like that's a summer – Now, the other thing,
Jumanji too, was a Christmas movie too. That's all my only, I'm not trying to like argue. I'm just saying that's my counterpoint of like,
no,
I guess I was a little surprised because of that. Right.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know, like, it's just, it might not even matter what's a summer and what's a Christmas movie anymore, just based off of, you know, this is going to change consumer behavior and patterns and things like that. So, I mean, it might not matter when it gets released, but I do think some of that probably has to do with what else? I mean, like, what else does Disney specifically have coming out, right? Like the Disney Studios itself.
They've been releasing nonstop stuff on streaming, but I mean,
what's their next animated joint?
It's a good question. I don't actually know offhand.
Disney Animated Studios has some sort of like, we got coming on up for Disney. Yeah, the only thing that's coming out next is Raya and the Last Dragon.
I don't really know shit about that, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't make sense of it. I mean, you might be right.
That's supposed to come out in November. We haven't even seen a trailer for that yet. We just saw like one picture. No way that comes out this fall. Awkwafina's in it.
Yeah, take their time on that.
Bob's Burgers, the movie coming out of 20th Century Fox Animation, April 9th.
Do you think they know they even have that movie?
Like, no.
What's H. John Benjamin up to these days? Haven't heard.
Probably being quarantined in his house, I have to guess.
That too, but also just movie. Well, I haven't seen him or heard him in a show in a long time.
And
I love his voice. Yeah, true. Arby's commercials.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to a commercial in a while.
Wait, did Soul get pushed back?
Soul, I believe Soul moved a little bit, but I think it's still in its slot, both for the most part.
Because it still says June, because June's not happening, my friends.
Yeah,
June. No, Soul they haven't touched.
Yeah, that's definitely not going to be open in June.
I'll tell you what, friends. I don't think the theaters, they have any money. They don't have any cash to actually invest in this. But it gets into May and June. And like we can kind of tentatively leave our houses, be a good time for a drive-in theater.
Ooh, comeback time!
I've heard that some of them are reopening. People are trying to reopen areas that had drive-in theaters.
I would buy a big screen if you're a theater, right? You got this big movie. You get this big fucking parking lot. All these movie theaters have a gigantic parking lot for some reason. Mm-hmm. Probably because a lot of people go there. But you know, buy a big screen, put it out in front, have people park in there. Charge like $20 a car. That's at least something.
I don't hate that idea one bit. Although I don't have a car, so it doesn't benefit me whatsoever. But
let me tell you why they won't be able to do that. Is they don't have any money.
Yeah, that hurts.
I remember one drive-in movie I went to. I think it was in New Haven, Connecticut. And they have New Britain, but I saw the Flintstones live-action movie in a drive-thru.
You didn't see
not Viva Rock Vegas.
I was going to say Viva Rock
Vegas. No. Viva Rock Vegas I saw in a theater. I remember seeing that one in a theater.
Viva Rock Vegas.
I saw a double feature when the last time I went to a drive-thru. You know what I saw?
What'd you see?
Saw the Miley Cyrus movie and Up.
What a combo.
I know.
What was that, like 2008? Probably a little later.
Like the Hannah Montana movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Hannah Montana.
So that was 2009?
Hannah Montana. What a great song. Bringing back a lot of great nostalgia today, Trill.
Yeah, so that's the delay stuff for now. Speaking of movies delayed, No Time to Die.
It got delayed. It was supposed to come out on Friday. It didn't come out. I don't know if you guys saw this.
Big stuff. It is supposed to come out in the fall. Apparently, it's completely finished and unlikely to change before release. That has to suck. Like, it just sits there. Like, I'm a big guy. Like, I like finishing the project right before it's done. That way, I like final thoughts. Boom, let's go. Let's have at it. If there's an error, if I miss something, like that's a bummer. But like, I put every second into it. It's the classic. Like, it's not a race, right? When you finish a test. Mm-hmm. Not that they were racing because they were ready to go for an early release, but now that they have to sit there with this, not touching it, oh my God.
Yeah. But that's frustrating too. But just think about the scope, like even within this one specific industry from the production side, the scope of this is cataclysmic because you think about the production of a movie and we think about the Rock's picture where he's like delivering the message that fucking, Blumpo Warriors 8 is being shut down. And, but
great
like,
movie.
You know, how many people are involved from like, you know, a technical standpoint, like lighting and sound and all that, like, you know, they're out of work right now. How many people are involved in the post-production stuff, like the animators, whatever, like assuming most of them are out of work because stuff's just not flowing through. It's fucking a nightmare, dude.
Yeah.
So at least there's something being made, but like, oh, I mean, at least there's something to sit on, but like, there's just like, everything's ground to a halt. It's going to be really, like I said in the last episode, it's going to be like magnified version of like what happened after the writer's strike, the last writer's strike, when like things were really shitty for a bit because there's like nothing for a while. And then the things that did come out sucked ass.
Yep. That's about the time when League of Extraordinary Gentlemen dropped, roughly the same period.
Oh, okay. That's a good look. Okay, that could be my spin zone. This movie would have been great had it not been for the writer's strike.
I don't actually know if that timeline.
No, it's not. It's like
I don't even think it's close. Yeah,
Conan during the writer's strike was actually pretty funny, if I recall. That's when I got really into Conan. That's when he grew his beard for the first time.
Poster for Blumpo Warriors 8.
Blumpo Warriors. Delayed. Actually, if you can just Photoshop like a horizontal picture of the Rock and have it say Blumpo, and I'll put that big delayed watermark.
The big watermark on it.
Yeah, I'll say Blumpo Warriors 8 delayed.
I'll make that right now.
Do we put Blumpo Warriors 8 or just Blumpo Warriors?
I still can't get over him. Just the lies he's been telling on his cheat meal.
Oh yeah,
of him. Just taking one bite of that French toast and then just completely moving the plate off. Mm-hmm. You know what? It makes sense. There's no way. Like, even the things that were really ridiculous in the past, like, I know he's a big guy, but that's a lot of food. But also, like, the way, like, if you're getting, like, a fucking 4,500 square foot gym shipped to each shooting location you're on, there's no way you're even spending a single day of the week consuming 12,000 calories.
You're Agreed. Stopping your day, your week to a halt.
Yes.
To eat, to gorge yourself. Basically, almost eat yourself to death.
I don't get me wrong. Like, I think he does a cheat meal, but when he does a cheat meal, it's probably like a fucking ants on a log.
I think he's just in too deep, right? Like, he took one funny picture of a lot of pizzas once. Like, he had one, right? Like, he did have a cheat day where he's like, you know what? I've been working my ass off. Like, I deserve like these three pizzas. And he took a picture of it. He said, I had all these pizzas. It's my, and he called it cheatza.
Double dough. Cheat meal. By the way, yeah. Double dough. Nobody gets fucking double dough. I'm gonna get twice of the worst part of the pizza.
He saw it was trending. He saw it went viral, and the Rock's a smart guy. He's like, I gotta buy into this. This week I have my 9-pound sushi roll.
Man, I would love to have some sushi.
The sushi is the most believable, but it's like, I, you know, he's at a level where I bet he's so obsessed with his physique because that's his moneymaker. And by the way, like watching him and the other guys the other week, I didn't bring this up on the podcast, and how he looks now is incredible because he is like twice the size now. Yes. I feel like than he was in the other guys. And he was still gigantic in the other guys. I feel like he really blew up, like just in terms of getting incredibly, incredibly shredded when he was doing Hercules.
Yeah, it seems like he like almost grew like 3 inches, and just his width and density just went up crazy.
We should have like an intro clip called Talking Rock. We just do, it's like a 30-second hit. It's just like talking rock for every episode before we talk.
It's just
about
the Spider-Man theme song.
Yeah. Anyway, buy some Terramana tequila.
Or aviation gin for my boy Ryan Reynolds. Please follow me again.
I'd like to see George Clooney and The Rock go toe to toe for who has the best celebrity tequila.
Who did? Who was the one that Turtle had in Entourage? Was it that one?
Avion.
Yeah.
Avion. Yeah. Avion. I'm from Indiana.
Yeah, we all mispronounce shit. Here's a movie. We watched the trailer like right before the episode started. Love Wedding Repeat, being released on Netflix. When? Does it say when? Did I miss this? It just says coming soon.
You have to beg for it.
April 10th, Love Wedding Repeat, starring Sam Claflin, who was in The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, and then the sequels of that one. Frida Pinto, Slumdog Millionaire fame, and Olivia Munn, G4 TV alum. Among other things. I pass.
I don't know what this is about. I watched the trailer. I couldn't figure out the main plot. What's the main plot?
Okay, hold on. Let me read you the synopsis. While trying to make his sister's wedding day go smoothly, Jack finds himself juggling an angry ex-girlfriend, an uninvited guest with a secret, a misplaced sleep sedative, and the girl that got away in alternate versions of the same day.
Doesn't that sound so sick? Or why are you guys so tentative about this?
It all looked the same in the trailer. I don't know. I didn't buy this one.
And it has the guy, the dickhead ruler from Marine from Game of Thrones in it.
I don't know what's going on in this movie, but it looks like shit, mate. I say mate because it's British. It, you know, if it's good, I'll eat that crow. But it's like it's trying to just cram. It's like a bunch of stuff going on, but I don't know what the stuff is. What's the stuff?
You want the meat and potatoes?
Yeah, like, look, here's the thing. You can give me Artemis Fowl, and I'm going to eat it up. You can give me, shit, even something like Tiger, right? Like, but not everything that you throw at me right now, I'm just going to go into because it's quarantine and I have new stuff. This for me.
Yeah, I'm not really into it. And plus, like, is it supposed to be a play on Live, Die, Repeat? Like, are they parodying it directly, or are they just pretending like the other one doesn't exist? Because they are referring to a lot of the stuff from that movie.
No review on this one. I'm just going to put it that way. We won't be doing a formal review on Love, Wedding, Repeat. Maybe it becomes a cult following quarantine movie, but I doubt it.
We know what we should review is Coffee and Kareem. It's the new Netflix movie that dropped. I liked it a lot. Very funny.
Our few like good ones.
Yeah, no, that's the one that just came out. It just dropped 2-3 days ago or something like that. Jason Sudeikis and Taraji P. Henson.
They're going to say this one garnered like 40 million people. Yeah, The Lovebirds with Kumail Nanjiani and Issa Rae, that is coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is coming out on Netflix at some point. So we'll have that.
I sent the poster for Blurpo Warriors.
Blurpo, was it Blurpo?
Is that what you said, Trill? I forget.
I don't remember.
Blumpo?
Blump is something.
Blurpo works. Blurpo Warriors.
Blurpo.
And it also stars Johnny Knoxville and Jessica Simpson.
Hell yeah. That seems like a movie that exists already.
I don't hate that, you know?
It's a good that's like the ideal cast for any movie that came out in 2004. It actually, what year did Dukes of Hazzard come out? Because this is just replacing Sean William Scott with The Rock.
That's basically what it is, right?
Oh man, do you remember the "These Boots Are Meant for Walking" music video with Jessica Simpson that came out with the movie Dukes of Hazzard?
No, but do you remember the Johnny Knoxville movie, the crazy one where the action movie he was in?
The action. Oh, yeah, The Rundown, right?
Was that The Rundown? Or was The Rundown with Sean William Scott?
Oh, wow, yeah, no, because The Rock was with that with Sean William Scott, and now The Rock is in Blurpro Warriors with Johnny Knoxville, and this is all mixing me up. No, I know which one you're talking about. Was it – it's not The Rock. It's like Walking Tall? Was that it?
I think it was Walking Tall.
Yeah, because it was the remake movie. Yeah, I think it was Walking Tall.
Do you guys know where Johnny Knoxville's from?
Where?
He's from Knoxville.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
That's why it's Johnny Knoxville.
No, he's from fucking Knoxville.
I don't believe you.
Early life. Knoxville was born Philip John Clapp, two P's, in Knoxville, Tennessee. Did he go to UT? I don't think he went to college.
Oh, good call.
Philip John Clapp.
What a tough name.
His parents are like, you should go to college. He's like, no, I want to electrocute my scrotum.
Instead of doing that, how about I slingshot myself in a porta potty?
Rolls. I mean, honestly, it's a way better decision than college.
Yeah. He made the way better choice, to be honest.
Yeah, he's had a way better life than me, so that's fine.
What was the movie where he was in the Special Olympics again? That movie.
The Ringer?
Yeah, imagine that one try to get made today.
Not happening, Chief.
For sure not.
Also, reminder, Uncles, don't watch Action Point.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Not good.
I don't think any of us thought that was
good. A fascinating real-life thing that exists in the YouTube
videos. Watch a documentary on that. Yeah, like watch YouTube documentary or like clips. It's way more interesting.
The craziest Action Park thing they did, it was a real, like, very, very unsafe water park, but theme park type thing in Jersey, is like they had a water slide, I think, that was a loop-de-loop, but it was in a tube, and it just didn't work. It just was just very dangerous. Fucking wild story that place was. This episode brought to you in part by Hawthorne. Smelling good is important, especially now. Do not smell like shit right now. If you got a roommate, significant other, you don't want to be smelling like crap. Hawthorne smells great, and getting Hawthorne cologne is easy. And you also can't be going out and buying cologne right now. Maybe like a local convenience store has, but you don't want that stuff. Basically, you take a quiz, okay? You take a quiz, and it personalizes the type of cologne, shampoo, face cleanser, deodorant, body wash, lotion that you want. And that is perfect right now because it does not require you to go to a store. You take a quick two-minute quiz, and Hawthorne tells you the two colognes that are best for you, one for work, one for play, both now for work from home. They're totally risk-free with shipping and free shipping and free returns. Check out Hawthorne, Hawthorne.co. That's Hawthorne with an E. And use promo code LIGHTS to get 10% off your first package. It's an easy quiz. And you get good smelling stuff. Easier than going to the store.
It smells great.
What could you ask for?
I'm still using my body wash from Hawthorne. It's great.
Moving on. Coronavirus comedy? Question mark? Maybe?
Fuck off.
Yeah. I'm going to drill on this one.
Logan Roy. Fuck off.
It's pretty good.
This comes from Screen Rant. They say TV Line reports that a coronavirus comedy is in the works. Ben Silverman and Paul Lieberstein, who've worked as executive producers on The Office, are developing a sitcom about a genius boss who attempting to ensure his staff's connectedness and productivity as they virtually interact all day. It's expected the sitcom will soon be searching for a potential home. So really, it's a work from home comedy.
They're trying to do a searching thing with the making a show.
A work from home searching, sure.
Yeah, right. Because that's how it's got to take place through the perspective of a camera. Because then they can film it while like people are all separated, maybe. So I asked a question when we were doing the live watch that was out of place, and it was like, there's going to be a pre and post COVID era, you know, like effect on movies. And I'm not talking about like movies, like it's like 9/11, right? Like there's movies specifically about 9/11, but then there are also movies that acknowledge like the changes that have happened from 9/11 in a more subtle way. And so what I'm talking about is like, if you ever watch an old movie like Home Alone, where they're just running through the airport, running through the gates, like there's like something in your like brain that's like, that's fucked up. That's not the way the airport is now. Whereas like a more modern one would be, you know, maybe like TSAs, or like even think about like She's Out of My League, remember? Where like TSA was an entire fucking profession in that movie. there's going to be like movies made where like there's going to have these implementations of like social distancing and phasing in and out that are going to be carried through our society for a few years, like built into the movie. I'm wondering how long it's going to take to get there, because there's going to be scenes in some movies that are going to get released where people are like fucking farting in cafes and stuff. They're going to be horrified by that.
Mm-hmm. Farting in cafes.
Or, you know, just like you watch it now. Like I was watching The Crown. It just in my brain, I was watching The Crown, and Winston Churchill goes up and does the hand kiss thing. It's just like, oh, by the way, like you can't do that today. A very creepy thing to do, but back then you could have done it. Kiss the hand of the queen. Like queen would not let me kiss her hand today. Too many germs.
It was weird hearing Singer talk today.
I tweeted that too. I don't know if I'm the only one who gets surprised every time she talks. Like, I know she can speak, but you're just used to seeing pictures of her and her, like, walking places. She doesn't talk.
We've all
been hit hard by the economy, which is why I'm announcing the royal family's OnlyFans account.
Talks like Theranos, ladies.
Come on, cameo. Prince William will post pictures of his hog.
You're just doing an impression of Mrs. Featherbottom from Arrested Development when Tobias did his Mrs. Doubtfire thing.
Come by and see Prince Philip's Prince. What do you call that thing? Prince Albert. Imagine Prince Philip had a Prince Albert. That would actually be incredible. And you could, like, it's, you see it in the outline of his pants, like they were saying with Cuomo and his nipple rings.
Prince Philip.
Yeah, that's her husband.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, the last picture I seen of that guy, it looked like Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, like he was dead.
The front seat of the car.
No, that was Prince Andrew.
No, Prince Andrew's the one who was...
yeah, that's the picture they took of him after he was back from trial. No,
Prince Philip was the one in the car.
No, there's two of them. Right? There's two different pictures. I know what Ken Jack's saying because I saw both of them. And Prince Andrew has a bad car picture too. But the one of like
the dead man. Okay, yeah. I get what you're saying.
The one of Philip Mountbatten looks specifically horrifying. Whereas Prince Andrew, we just don't talk about him anymore.
Apparently. Yeah, it's the new for many reasons. But yeah, no, that'd be hilarious. He's just wearing gray sweats, and they're like, "What's that little ring coming out there?"
please, nobody go eat at Nando's. It's exceptionally cheeky.
Go to Tesco's.
Nando's is good, though. What's the premium grocery store in England? Because there's Tesco, and then there's Sainsbury, and then there's like an upscale grocery store.
Yeah. Well, I think it's their version of like Wawa versus Sheetz or something. I don't know. Maybe it's Aldi. Who knows?
But then they also have, like, when I was there, they had that big department store. Like, it was like B and something that also had groceries in it. Just completely fucked me up. And Selfridges and then something Lewis. Like, they all just had everything in their grocery stores. It was weird.
Jesus.
You get a barber jacket and a lime.
Well, you can get that at like Target. Target has their groceries.
Oh, it's Waitrose. Waitrose. Mm. It's probably pronounced like Latrose.
I mean you can get all that stuff at Target, right? Because they have the grocery section. Same with Walmart.
Man, I loved London when I went. Jeff, you've been for the Olympics.
Went to London, but not really London. Like, I was in East London. I saw some really cool stuff. I drove by Big Ben and looked up. The only, like, London-y thing I did was I did Wimbledon, O2, and all that. But, like, downtown, the Horse Guards Parade is where the volleyball was, and that was cool. But I didn't get to see anything up close.
See, I went in May 2012, so, like, right before the Olympics. So everything was set up, and I went out to go look at the Olympic Stadium. And I know what you're saying, it was that entire area that felt just built up for it because there was that tube station, and you came out the tube station, and you're in a mall. It's weird as shit.
It's a crazy fucking mall. It had like an Apple. Westfield Mall. Very few Olympic sites that has thrived after the Olympics. And it's basically, they said like that London area will just host an Olympic Games if there's like an emergency need to move one. Like, they were going to host it there if Zika, ironically enough, another virus, Zika pushed the Olympics out of Rio.
Sochi, I'm pretty sure, is still irradiated.
It's, I mean, Rio is a disaster still. Rio looks terrible.
What's the next one out again?
The next one's in Tokyo. Tokyo, they're going to do a great job.
Tokyo will be good, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to do a really good job.
Tokyo will be fun. I've always won.
Which one is in like the
fuck they're doing?
Which one is in like the UAE or something where like they've already killed like a bunch of
people? That's
the World Cup in Qatar.
Yeah, they didn't put it in the US. They put it in Qatar, and then now the US is going to get it years later. But
aren't we getting like 2028?
Yeah, 2028 I believe is the day, and then 2024 is the Olympics in Los Angeles.
I can't wait. I personally can't wait to hopefully I'm alive by then, but to go watch a World Cup match in the soulless Cowboys AT&T Stadium. Just devoid of any personality whatsoever.
It'll be there, or the final will be at MetLife, but I'd imagine it'll be at that Cowboys Stadium. It might be in the new Rams and Chargers Stadium too.
I'm super excited for the new NFL stadiums, and I don't think we'll get a season. But if we don't get a season, can we at least get a virtual tour of these new stadiums?
The Las Vegas Raiders is going to be an electric factory.
Oh, it looks like a fucking router,
dude. It's dope. Isn't that what's so cool about it? It looks like an old Net or a brand new Netscape router that they come and install for you.
It's going to look like shit in 20 years. It's going to age horribly.
Imagine like one dust storm and they just have to wash the entire stadium. Like
some are calling it the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen of stadiums. People are saying
it's going to age like shit, mate.
But then the Los Angeles stadium's just going to be
empty.
That's going to be something too.
Empty.
Yep.
Fill out a soccer stadium for the Chargers. They're not going to fill out a fucking.
Well, they're just going to fill it out with more opposing fans.
What's your favorite sports stadium you've ever been to?
PNC Park, probably. The Pirates baseball stadium.
I hear this, yeah.
I really like, yeah. I actually have nothing against I hate the Steelers. I don't have anything with the Pirates. PNC Park is gorgeous. It's a great stadium.
I mean, I don't really know. I'm going to say Yankee Stadium only because I was able to go down on the field and shit for NYCFC stuff, and that was really cool. And I haven't
the new Yankee Stadium is very nice and bougie if you sit in the right areas.
Yes.
But it's soulless.
I'll say the Pepsi Suite and shit was sick as hell. It's super fucking cool. I mean, obviously not an experience everyone gets to do. Like, bleachers and shit is their own lifestyle, which I've been many, many times. But, like, the suite life there, fucking awesome.
Cowboy Stadium is neat, but it's, again, it's soulless.
The coolest part about Cowboy Stadium is, like, when you get there and you realize that most of it's underground, which is not, you're at, obviously, ground level, and you're, like, facing the scoreboard. I thought that was pretty neat. And that's not, like, you know, a surprising thing for a gigantic stadium.
I went to the arena and I went to it was the UConn, it was 2009 regional. Purdue was there. Robbie Hummel and Purdue.
Fun team.
In Glendale where the Cardinals played. That was a very cool arena.
Etuan Moore and
Juwan Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good team. We can talk about that for a while. All right. One more thing. Scooby-Doo. You guys want to talk about Scooby-Doo?
Is he dead?
He's dead.
No, I'm sure
that's not a great bit for right now.
Dead Miami.
Actually, yeah. You don't have to cut that out, but I denounce. Yeah. I denounce it.
Yeah. Yep. Denounced it. So on Twitter, James Gunn was asked about the plot of Scooby-Doo 3. He said, "The Mystery Inc. gang are hired by a town in Scotland who complain they're being plagued by monsters, but we discover throughout the film the monsters are actually the victims, and Scooby and Shaggy have come to terms with their own prejudices and narrow belief systems." What?
But personally, I like when Scooby gets Scooby snack.
Yeah. That's like...
that's what gets asses in the seats. Scooby gets Scooby snack and Shaggy act high.
Yeah, Shaggy act high. Scooby gets Scooby snack. Daphne and Velma, one high key hot and the other low key hot. And I'm fine.
Oh, dude. Velma cosplayers on TikTok. Oh. No. No.
Good?
Yes. Very. Extremely good. And also Linda Cardellini as Velma. Oh.
I love Linda Cardellini.
I mean, this sounds terrible. I don't know. Like, James Gunn can maybe do it the right way, but it's not like the Scooby-Doo movies were all that great.
I was going to say, I don't know if you saw the first two Scooby-Doo movies, neither of them were exactly lightning in a bottle or anything like that. They're pretty funny in retrospect, though, some of the lines.
Maybe James Gunn is what the British call taking the piss here.
Also possible.
He put yes, comma, really in parentheses at the end, though.
Maybe that was just one of a bit.
That's like a bit within a bit, then. That's like, I don't think you're going to believe my bit. I'm going to double down on the bit.
I don't know. Mm. I mean, to his credit, that would have been a pretty progressive plot.
This sounds like the fucking finale to Seinfeld. Like they realize it turns out they're the bad guys all along.
That's the one that Jerry got an iPad in.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
God, dude, I would kill for a fucking Starbucks coffee right now. Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Yeah, or Dunkin' just a professionally made coffee.
I'm just watching TV and there's someone with a coffee cup.
Do you see that guy that got all the coffees from the gas station?
I think he showed that to me, didn't he?
It was incredible. He went to just a random gas station to get like 19 gas station coffees and came back. It's like, just blew my fucking mind.
Gas station coffee be hitting different though.
19 of them though, like they're just going to go cold. And like, I don't think that really takes well being reheated.
Go to get that Cumbie's coffee.
What?
Cumbie's.
Cumbie's. Cumberland's.
Oh.
Oh.
The Northeast thing. They have a very famous spokesman. Hey, you cockeyed fuck, what are you buying this Cumbie's for? Cumbie's has the best coffee around.
I made Cumbie's in my pants, ooh.
If you know what we're referencing, look it up. You'll find some fantastic commercials.
Hey, you cockeyed fuck, I made a Cumbie in my pants.
All right, you want to talk about League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, aka, what is this movie? What's the alternate title to this movie, Trill? Do you know?
And where to find them?
No, it's a very early 2000s title.
LXG.
Yeah.
Yep, that was LXG, baby. I can just imagine it. Yeah, I can just imagine LXG in just very aggressive, like hollowed out font that's like gold and beveled and has like a gloss on it. So everything was designed back then. I was surprised. Big actually.
Devil.
Here's my first impression of the movie. I was surprised when I found out this came out July 11th, 2003. I had already graduated high school at that point. I was a couple days out of graduating high school. I could have sworn, if you were to say, when did this movie come out? I could have sworn it was 2000 or 2001.
I wasn't even in middle school yet.
I know. I do. You don't have to say that to make me feel worse about myself.
I do remember the time because I've said this before. I did a book report on the novelization of this movie. And not even like the original story, like the movie, like just like the movie version of this.
Like the graphic novel is apparently very good too, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah. I mean the graphic novels by,
Alan Turner, right? Or nope.
Alan Moore, who did
It has a cool concept, right?
Yeah, he did V for Vendetta, Watchmen, all that shit. I mean, he did Killing Joke. It's fucking Alan Moore. But no, I didn't read the novelization of the graphic novel. I read like the straight up Sean Connery movie. It's a team of extraordinary figures culled from great adventure literature, from Alan Quarterman, Vampress Mina Harker, from Dracula, The Invisible Man, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, an American Secret Service agent named Sawyer, a.k.a. Tom Sawyer, Captain Nemo, and Dorian Gray. They're called to stop a villain intent on turning the nations of the world against one another. It is a cool concept.
It's the lamest Avengers ever.
It is. It's the public domain Avengers. And we asked for the big question on this movie, and multiple people said that to us. It's public domain Avengers. Look.
You like Captain America? Here's Tom Sawyer. The guy who painted fences.
I really.
And I think he said racial epithets as well, if I remember right.
It was a Secret Service agent. Is that what Tom Sawyer was?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I remember him painting fences as a Secret Service agent. I also remember how in this movie, he never actually learns how to take the long distance shot. And then Alan Quarterman's, remember your training or something like that. And
what training? You left me alone on top of the
You didn't let him. You never trained him. He said, you're ready. How do you know he's ready?
ready.
Do you remember at the start when they're getting when Basil exposition
yeah.
is just dumping his exposition out in the room that I'm pretty sure they reused for
Wanted.
There's a submarine scene too.
For that and the
painted it white.
The Kingsman. It was basically the long Kingsman table room. The knights of the round table, but not round table, it's a long table. And it was like the group's phantom, and he's like, someone's wearing a mask, and he's like, that's operatic.
Oh, the whole movie is one-liners and nothing but one-liners. It's incredible. Like anything, anyone does any action whatsoever, and there has to be a one-liner after it. Like, what are you? I'm complicated. Like everything has to be a one-liner. I just didn't get it.
We'll get further into it. Oh my God. So this, again, 2003, it's got a 17% of Rotten Tomatoes from the critics, 44% from the audience. That's dog shit. Stars, the main person in this movie is Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
Alan Quarterman. It's a very Sean Connery role.
Trill, do your Connery impression. I want to hear it.
This is a league of extraordinary gentlemen. And one gentlewoman. Can I have a free login to your OnlyFans account?
Girl, what did you give this movie?
Can I just smell it? Can you give me your corset when you're through with it?
This was his last role, by the way.
Isn't that crazy? This convinced him to quit acting. The fact that he turned down Gandalf to be in League of the Extraordinary Gentlemen.
He did a voice role and then was in a documentary, according to Wikipedia.
No, but that doesn't count. It was like a public service fucking cartoon that he lent his voice to.
His last two roles were You're the Man Now, Dog, and this one. Like that was his swan song to acting.
Yeah, and it's incredible. But the weirdest thing about the production of this movie is the fact that he turned down Gandalf for this role because he didn't understand the script to Lord of the Rings. And he would have made, in retrospect, he would have made $450 million if he stayed on to be Gandalf because of the residuals he would have made. And instead, he did this movie, which he made $17 million up front for. And because they spent so much money on his, like, him being on the cast, they couldn't get any other good actors. And, like, no strike on it. It's all good cast. I like the cast of it.
But I recall much bigger names being in this movie.
I thought Jason Statham was the Invisible Man. I forgot that it wasn't him.
Which, The Invisible Man is one of my favorite parts about this movie. The lack of budget to go all in on The Invisible Man. But let's get scores first. Trill, what do you give it?
30.
Ken Jack, what do you give it?
Horde 25.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad movie. It's a bad movie. I'm going to go with a 33 for me. I mean, it's just not good. There are some entertaining things. I think it's intriguing in spots. Audience gave it a 42. It's not good. I don't know what my fascination with this shit was. I don't know why I liked it so much. I really don't. Like I was rewatching it and I was perplexed. I was like, what did I find so cool about this? I vividly remember the shootout scene in Dorian Gray's library. I remember thinking like, this fucking rules. Why?
The thing, this is a movie, and when we reference this, every single time I mentioned, I've seen this movie a billion times because it was on FX all the time, and they would always do the behind the movie featurette thing with it for whatever reason. I guess they just had continuous rights to the film. But I would watch it 1,000 times, and I always thought it was really cool. And then one day, I just had like that epiphany where I was like, "This fucking sucks, dude! Like this is really bad. Like it's just not a good movie. It's passable action, but that's really about it. Like that's all there is to it. The actual movie itself." Is just not good.
It's so much of it's unexplained and stupid. Also, you know what vibe I got from this? Let me know if you guys agree. Schumacher Batman vibes.
I could see that.
There were some very Schumacher-y Batman vibes in this movie.
Just one-liners in action.
A couple like the landscapes, a couple of the rooms, like when they went into like the big blimp room with the German, like it just had really weird Schumacher-y like set piece vibe. It's weird.
Yeah, the weird set pieces, the over the top action, the over the top one liners. That's very like reminiscent of Batman and Robin Schumacher.
Jesus, and how fucking obnoxious was speaking of settings, the Nautilus was obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
Just obnoxiously big.
a lot of this movie, and like I agree with you, like in retrospect, like I thought it was more intriguing than it was too. Even when we said we were going to review it, I'm like, oh, I'm still going to like some of the stuff that I liked when I was a kid, and a lot of that I still didn't like. The in theory, it should be cool. Like the Legend of Alan Quartermain is really fucking cool. Like Moby Dick, I was kind of like, I'm going to pass on that. Like the Nemo shit and all that, and like the like vampires, that's cool. Like me and Stro are obsessed with like fucking Castlevania. A lot of this stuff is sick, but then they add in stuff like fucking Tom Sawyer. Like, why did they do that? Why did they add Tom Sawyer to this group of people? Just to, and I read it too. Like they said, apparently they like Tom Sawyer is not part of the graphic novel, but they wanted like an aspect that would intrigue Americans. Yeah, yeah, and they're like, we need an American. Like, but why pick Tom Sawyer?
Today's Tom Sawyer, me.
And he comes in almost like with like, what's up, bitches? I'm Tom Sawyer, Secret Service. How you doing? Same day.
That guy never acted again. That was like the only job he ever got was like playing this Tom Sawyer Secret Service man.
There are just so many bizarre choices with this movie.
He played again, like Bane in Gotham.
The fucking Nautilus is like the Nautilus from like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Like it's just a submarine. Why did it have to be this giant fucking thing?
Decadent power.
Maybe I haven't read the graphic novel, so I'm wrong.
What it reminded me of? It reminded me of our 90s episode because everything was a reference to something that's brand new. It's like, what do you call this? Oh, it's an automobile. It'll be the future one day.
It's an
automatic machine gun. I've never seen that before. Like everything is like literally our 90s episode.
Do you remember this?
Yeah, remember that? A car? No.
It's a magic wand. Have it, Mr. Hitachi.
yes.
There are so many fucking one-liners. Oh, you're right. I wrote down a bunch of them. Even just like, is this some sort of parlor trick? It's like, what?
The arms race line made me laugh out loud, which I forgot, where he's like, oh, it's a race to arms. Say arms race. Just fucking say arms race, man. The fact that the submarine had a cruise missile made me laugh out loud, too. I forgot about that as well. Like, literally the entire movie is just remember this. Like, oh, cool.
Well, the scene where they're trying to save Venice, I'm sorry, I'll suspend disbelief. It's Tom Sawyer fighting along Sean Connery. Venice was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looked like they knocked over a million buildings and they ended up stopping. And they're like, oh, we're good.
Miniatures were harmed in the filming of this movie.
Right. Venice is, it's only 90% underwater now. We're fine. We did a good job. Tom Sawyer, who definitely died in this scene, by the way.
He had like a 50-foot fall, like a 50-story fall in this giant convertible. And
the convertible, open top, upside down, slid across pavement into a building and then exploded. And he comes walking out with like some dust on him, like, ah, survived another one, boys.
Damn, lived it. And meanwhile, Quartermain's just like, that's my boy.
It's like, excuse me? Especially when, like, part of the crux of the movie is that you have, an indestructible character in Dorian Gray.
Yeah, and also fucking, what's her name? Her accent or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have many thoughts because, I mean, while I didn't like it, when I was watching this, I'm like, I feel like every movie I grew up with was like this. like every mainstream blockbuster, this felt like the time, like when I go to a movie, when I'd actually go to a movie with my friends, like we wouldn't be going to, like, because we're dumbass kids, we wouldn't be going to see like Adaptation or anything like that. We'd be going to see shit like this. So I felt like at the time this was everything I would have watched and kind of would have liked, but at the same time it reminded me like how much better now. We'll talk. There'll be certain years where the best of the best stand out, like 1999, held as like a benchmark year in filmmaking, just with all the movies that came out there, right? So like the cream rose to the top on that. But for like the baseline shit movies, the baseline box office fare, I would rather have, and people can shit all over Marvel movies as ever they want, and Disney's still paying for me to say this, I'd rather have like Captain Avengers 8, fuck fest versus this shit like any day of the week, because I felt like every major blockbuster was like this, just drab, dull, quippy, shitty, no point, whatever.
I mean, I think the biggest problem with this movie, besides like the plot being sort of like nonsensical, whatever, like there really wasn't any characterization for any of these people. And I think that it would have made it better. Like, it's fucking vampires. That's cool. Like, Dorian Gray, I don't know anything about. I didn't know anything about the Mina character. And Quartermain, I only learned about later in life, like that legend and all that. And I think it would have been cooler if they gave everyone just like a little bit more. Like, instead of just doing the fucking introduction screen, like the, what would we call when we said they're going to do Birds of Prey? Like, they're going to do the quick screen and flashback of every single character. Mm-hmm. Which is not really, they didn't do the flashback even really with this. They just said, here is this person, here is two lines about their backstory, and that's it. Like, we didn't get much to work with.
Yeah, what did Captain Alan Nemo Moore need a friend? It's like, yeah.
What did Alan Moore have to man. Say about this? Because, I mean,
oh, he did not like it.
Yeah, because like Alan Moore hates every adaptation of his work, even the TV, the Watchmen TV show that came out.
Mm-hmm. He didn't like, I read that, like, he didn't like it, but he said he hoped people could distance the movie from his graphic novel. And he's like, yeah, it turns out that wasn't the case, because now everyone thinks of the movie instead of his graphic novel.
Yeah, because when I was, first off, when I think League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, I think of LXG.
I do. I think of Sean Connery.
I was going to say, I immediately think Sean Connery.
LXG sounds like the house brand of workout gear they have at Dick's Sporting Goods.
I was going to say, it sounds like a wrestling stable. Like D-Generation X or something.
What else did I put down here then?
The Call Me Ishmael line I had forgotten about. That was great. He's like, here's my first mate. Call me Ishmael. Like, we already know. We know it's Captain Nemo. Like end it there. We understand.
Fucking, what else? Them fitting into the convertible, even when they first saw it was clearly a size for two people. Like, the back seat was a size like 4 inches wide.
Not only that, none of them have ever seen an automobile in their life. And then later when they're like, how are we going to reach there in time? Fucking Sawyer comes boiling out, does like a G-whip turn. And he's like, anyone need a lift? And
it's like donuts.
You've never seen a car in your fucking life and you're peeling out. Like, what are you talking about?
I will say one of my absolute favorite things with this movie is the fact that some scenes, the Invisible Man, they have the paint with the green screen suit on.
Looks good.
And others, it's just straight up a guy's face painted white.
Yes.
Like, there's really no rhyme or reason. It's just, I think it just came down to budget.
Yep.
Because some scenes he's fully painted white. And other scenes it's a cool effect where he's floating and he puts paint on so you know he's there. But it looks so bad when it's just the regular face paint guy.
The CGI I thought looked way better than I originally remembered. Especially like when he puts on his jacket for the first time, the invisible like skin or whatever. Like, that looked cool. Like, it looked good, especially for 2001 standards. Way better than I remembered.
What are some other stupid things? Like the beginning of the movie when we see the tank for the first time, and that police officer just stands in front of it, a la fucking Austin Powers.
Yep, and he's like,
"Stop! What?
Run over!
Get out of the way! It's a slow tank."
Like Michael McDonald just getting mowed over.
Even like the gun scene was also. You want to if you're into to walls being bust down. Ooh. This movie, they drive and run through more walls than anything I've ever seen in my life.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of them were miniatures. You could just kind of tell. Oh my God.
You know where they ran out of CGI? It was when they made the second Mr. Hyde.
No, second Mr. Hyde looks like a pre-viz type thing. That's like, what they show the studio. Like, this is the concept. And the studio's like, yo, that's the thing. We have no more money. Run with it.
$0 left. It looks like something like a fucking Snapchat AI or something, like one of the virtual interface things. It's so bad.
I mean, the M twist was okay, but like for me, like a twist where he has to remove the facial scar makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, we're going a little too deep with the twist there.
He's doing a Russian accent the entire
time. I thought the whole scene of them chasing Dorian was a fucking bore with like the tiger and shit.
Yeah.
It's like, And then you, Kendrick, you noted it. I thought the dumbest thing in this movie was?
Oh, which part? I forget. That's
the fucking GPS tracking map.
Oh, yeah. No, that was awful.
In Nemo's quarters, where it's like this big, confusing silver globe and these two big silver latches it was so confusing.
It was the most confusing thing I've ever seen. And like they don't move separately at any point. Were they both moving the exact same speed and velocity the entire fucking time? And like the globe is moving 1,000 RPM. Like, I don't, It was so confusing.
Also, Dorian Gray crumbling, looking at the painting, the CGI budget was very low on that one as well.
Oh, yeah.
That was stupid.
That was very, very Dwayne the Rock Johnson, Dorian Scorpion Gray. King.
I'm sure the subtleties of the character from the Dorian Gray take, Alan Moore's Dorian Gray, translated well into this Hollywood movie, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. He looks at Mina for the first time. Maybe worth it. Maybe worth it.
Again, this is a very cool concept. Like it is a neat concept. Like, I'm not going to deny that much.
Public Domain Avengers.
It's just not a good movie. I don't know why I liked it. Also, this must have been a fucking trend growing up for me. I remember thinking that Ted Danson played Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Nah, Jason Fleming. I
always think I am always thinking Ted Danson plays people. He doesn't.
I love Jason Fleming and everything he does. So good in Guy Ritchie stuff, especially.
I can only name like four things Ted Danson's ever been in. Like Cheers.
I always confuse him for Becker, Cheers and his company.
Good Place and Curb. And everything else, like the Two Men and a Baby, was he in that? Maybe.
He doesn't do a ton of movies, I feel like, compared to TV. Like, I think almost all of us remember him mostly from TV.
Yeah.
It's like, when, what do you call it? Did you ever see that Futurama episode where Fry buys all 20th century stuff and he buys Ted Danson's skeleton? He's like, I have an idea for a sitcom. That was a great episode.
I didn't see that.
I forgot they had a tow missile right in the beginning of the movie. Like, they don't even have automatic machine guns yet, but the guy fires off a tow missile. It was incredible stuff.
I don't know. Like, the twist isn't that crazy. The Dorian Gray twist is fine. I guess I don't know. It's just a bad movie. And then it ends with one of the all-time dumbest endings, with the witch doctor trying to bring Alan Quarterman back to life, which they teased at some point before. But it was so overly dramatic and so overdone in terms of just, like, again, effects and how it looked.
They did the cloud thing.
They did. They did.
I do like the soundtrack. I remember liking the soundtrack when I was younger, and I still liked it now. Good soundtrack. And I still think that I agree with you. Conceptually, it is cool. Like, if you take all these old legends that everyone knows and loves and throw them together, like, there's a chance that it works out. But I think it needs to be more, either you got to give more characterization to the characters, or you need to, like, make it more famous, like, legends. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like with the Dark Universe shit, like Monster of the Blue Lagoon. Like, no one gives a fuck about that. But at least, like, with something like, I don't know, the Mummy, like, we have a general idea of what it is. But, like, a Dorian Gray, I don't know how many people know what Dorian Gray is. Like, I don't know how many people know, like, Mina Harkin or whatever is. Even same with fucking
Elf. I mean, every time I hear Mina Harkin, it sounds like Nina Hakkinen, who is the ambassador in Veep.
Yeah, exactly.
Who hated Selena. Yeah, they hate the Finnish wolf.
So there was two ways they could have gone with it, and I don't think they really hit either way. Like, I just wish I knew more about these characters and learned a little more, but maybe they were just stuck with time constraints. But this seems like a big studio fuck-up movie.
It really does. It really does. Let's look at some questions. We'll answer some questions. Let's see. Kevin underscore Hector says, what makes Alan Quarterman extraordinary? It's just the shot, right?
They said the reason they needed him is to hunt down Mr. Hyde.
He's that archetype of, like, you know, 1900s British colonial explorer.
Yeah.
What legend was he from?
I think he was, like, his own, like, literal legend that, like, wrote up.
Alan Quartermain.
But they, the guy, M, said the only reason they needed Quartermain was to hunt down Mr. Hyde because no one else could catch him.
Also a character on General Hospital. Not the same one. You know, I forgot, by the way, that Moriarty was played by Ralph Fiennes in Holmes and Watson.
Yeah, that's right. Man, what a fucking...
Stupid movie.
And Moriarty... cool character. Andrew Scott plays him to perfection in the Sherlock, the show.
But. Alan Quartermain. Alan Quartermain has been portrayed by Sean Connery. Patrick Swayze as well portrayed him. All right, next question. We'll roll along. If you could cast this movie, who would you cast it as in 2020? We're going to do this as well for, like, what characters would you pick? But Ken Jack, I know you casted it.
Yeah. I casted it through. Okay, so
actually, the question comes from a guy named Jack Kennedy.
That's kind of weird.
That's very weird.
Okay. So the first pick, Alan Quartermain, I'm going Liam Neeson. I don't know how you guys feel about that. I feel like Liam Neeson just fits into this pretty well.
As Alan Quartermain?
Yeah.
I think that works.
What do you think, True?
Yeah, he could do it. I'd like somebody a little younger.
But he's old as fuck.
I know, but I want him to be kind of hunky. I want to look at his traps.
You want the action figure.
Jacked old man?
Yeah. I just want a jacked British guy.
Man, I don't know what to tell you. He's an old man. You know, I think Liam Neeson is tall and imposing. What about Pierce Brosnan?
No, I like Liam Neeson. You should go with Liam Neeson.
Okay. For Captain Nemo, I picked F. Murray Abraham. Oh, God, no. He didn't die, did he?
No, he didn't die.
He didn't die? What are you...
No, I just don't know.
I saw him in Homeland like 2 episodes ago. What are you talking about?
I know. Look, I know. He's not... He's 80. He's not that old. I mean, he's elderly.
But in this Captain Nemo would be, I think, a little less active with the slice and dicing and martial arts and all that than this Nemo was. But I think I like the idea of F. Murray Abraham as Captain Nemo, conceptually.
I think that's pretty good. I like I can't even think right now.
Give us a hint.
I could give you a hint if I could even think of it. Like
I would love if Captain Nemo like still had the same advancements in technology. Like they roll up in their car, he's like, "We're gonna get there by my automobile." Like, you're like, yeah. Sick dude.
I have a rear view camera.
Very cool, Nemo. You know what else?
I like Ben Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn is Nemo? Okay, so we're switching to a white Nemo. Why not?
Bro. Sure.
What about Mina Harker?
I don't see color.
Mina Harker, I'm going Samara Weaving from Ready or Not. I think she's really cool, good with like a scary character. I think she'd be a perfect sort of vampire. I don't know how you guys feel though.
I'm going with the woman from Riverdale.
Which one?
The Camilla,
okay, Cabello or whatever. Yeah,
no, not Cabello. Cabello's the singer.
Yeah, she's dating Shawn Mendes, right?
Correct.
I know things.
What about Rodney Skinner?
Rodney Skinner. I want Mark Hamill's voice, but I want Joel Kinnaman's body. This is the worst pick I have so far, but I just love that idea conceptually of having our good boy Mark Hamill on a ripped as fuck body. I don't think Kinnaman would agree to it, but
just put this fucking suit on.
Yeah.
We're going to dub your voice. All right.
I want Adam Driver.
Adam Driver is the Invisible Man?
Yeah. Just
Kevin James is the Invisible Man.
I know you can't see me.
What about that?
But if I'm here.
What if it was like Zac Efron's voice, but then like when they reveal his body for the first time, it's Kevin James and everyone like looks at each other like, were you expecting him to be hot?
By the way, he recovered from those burns rather quickly in this movie.
Yeah, it didn't seem like a big deal.
Adam Driver's the worst Invisible Man because he's so big, he can't, like, people just walk into him all the time.
Yeah, just too wide.
Just walk into his shoulder.
Insert John Cena joke there. My Dorian Gray is Aaron Tyler Johnson. I could see him in this role. Just saying. He's sexy. He's got the look. I think he fits.
Yeah, he could pull off on the young guy. All right, I like that.
Good British voice. Tom Sawyer. I'm going Liam Hemsworth because this is the most Liam Hemsworth movie ever. Like, yeah. If they were to remake this movie right now, Liam Hemsworth would 100% be in it.
It's my Secret Service partner, Huck Finn.
Yeah, exactly. This is fucking a Huck Finn right here. Ugh.
I'm casting Chris Angel as Dorian Gray.
What was the guy, question mark, from the pickup artist? Pick him as him.
Mystery.
Yeah, Mystery. Oh, I think it's question.
What's your talent? A mind freak.
I'm the mind freak. What was the guy from Phineas? He drowns the limb. What book was that? Separate Piece?
Whoosh.
Yeah, where he falls. He pushes his friend off the tree.
Separate Piece, right?
I think so. That's the one where they're in boarding school, right?
Yes. And
they have that weird sexual tension that's never spoken of.
Yes. Phineas is replacing Tom Sawyer. Dr. Jekyll. I'm still going Jason Fleming. Man, I love Jason Fleming. He's a great actor. Like I said before, I'm sticking with him in this. And then I'm switching over Andrew Scott for Moriarty. Because Andrew Scott's a great Moriarty.
I think my American, I'd put in, like, if I were to redo the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and like I'm doing it with like new characters, I think Jack Ryan. In terms of like fictional legend,
we're gonna do that in a second. Let's just do it now. So let's go down the list. You got to replace this character with a 21st century character. for movies or literature, TV. Let's stick to movies and TV. Alan Quarterman.
Okay, so he's like an explorer. He can shoot good.
British? Does he have to be British?
No, he doesn't have to be British. I don't think he has to be British.
It's got to have a character that's of that same vein.
Huh, like an explorer, old badass guy?
I think it's Indiana Jones.
I'd like that. I actually like that a lot. That fits really well.
Right?
I wasn't even thinking of movie characters. I was trying to think of legit legends, but I think that works even better.
Yeah, I would say movie, characters or TV, it can be TV as well. Captain Nemo. So someone of the sea.
What's Sailor Moon?
Sully.
Sully? Ooh.
Well, that just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, Captain Phillips. I get him confused.
Captain Phillips stunk.
Well, somebody with a lot of tech too.
Popeye
of the sea. Can you combine the Circle CEO with the Captain Phillips Tom Hanks? Can it be an amalgamation of every Tom Hanks character?
What are some rich movie characters?
Scrooge McDuck.
Man, that's actually like a really tough question to think of on the spot. Lex Luthor.
Yeah, oh,
bro. What about Bruce Wayne?
What would he be? Would he be the Nemo?
Yeah.
I think they got to be of the sea. I think being of the sea supersedes the rich part.
Gordon Gekko.
Jay Gatsby.
Forrest Gump.
He brings nothing to the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Forrest Gump on the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
We'll love that.
I mean, he did have the fishing, shrimping boats.
Les Grossman.
I feel like you need somebody who has a lot of technological advancements, though.
Who's the Rainn Wilson character from The Meg? He was the CEO of whatever company that they were sponsoring there.
I don't hate Les Grossman. Let's come back to Captain Nemo.
Okay.
Mina Harker. So someone a little twisted.
A little twisted and who's like a badass female character?
The female Joker.
Harley Quinn?
No, not Harley Quinn. The female Joker.
I kind of like Harley Quinn now that I said it out loud.
All right, let's do Harley Quinn.
I liked Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn, good pick. Invisible Man, Rodney Skinner. What's a character who has
Clay
a crazy...
Aiken.
Why Clay Aiken? What's the
talent? If I was invisible.
He doesn't have to be an invisible
just
person.
I would watch you in your room.
Who's like who's a character with a crazy talent? Or crazy skill?
Bloom has that big old hog.
Well, this would have to be probably a superhero.
Oh.
No, it's so late.
This feels very Iron Man-y, I will say that. Actually, no, Tony Stark's got to be Captain Nemo.
How about Mr.
Skin?
Yeah,
yeah, Tony Stark, Captain Nemo.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mr. Skin as Rodney Skinner.
No, we're missing.
Is he Invisible Man?
No, he doesn't. It's not the Invisible Man. The Invisible Man is gone. So what's somebody that you'd compare to the Invisible Man?
It's a stealth guy. How about Sam Fisher?
The samurai that Tom Cruise played. The Last Samurai.
I was thinking more like Ethan Hunt or Jason Bourne.
Do Sam Fisher from Splinter Cell.
Jack Black from The Holiday.
I kind of like that, actually. Ethan Hunt's kind of like the same deal as Sam Fisher. They're kind of the same, but I like the idea of having that Michael Ironside voice because he has such a sick voice.
What about Tom Sawyer?
What did we just say before?
Yeah. Oh, Jack Ryan.
Yeah, Jack Ryan. I actually love the idea of having Jack Ryan there.
Is there a? That's not a bad one.
Shadow Recruit. La Llorona.
Jack, is there a younger character?
Jack Ryan's pretty young. I think he's only old in like the Harrison Ford things.
Yeah, Jack Ryan could be whatever age you want. We think about like a younger, like American super soldier spy.
Freaking Crockett and Tubbs or whatever. Davy Crockett.
That is true. Jack Ryan does.
Feel
right.
What about somebody from a video game?
That's what I was saying with Sam Fisher.
That'd be good.
But that's too close to still my pick for Skinner.
Nathan Drake.
All right. I kind of dig that. That's a good pick.
Well, I already picked Jack Ryan. Jack Ryan's a good
pick. Crash Bandicoot.
The Monkey Ball. Super Monkey Ball.
Mr. Hyde.
Mr. Hyde.
I mean, that's just the Hulk.
Yeah, it is literally the Hulk. Almost like aspect for aspect. I guess you kind of have to. Bruce Banner.
I feel like you have to make it Bruce Banner. Mm-hmm. Dorian Gray. Who's the villain?
One of the Christian Gray.
I was going to say Christian Gray.
Yeah,
I was going to say I think it's got to be Christian Gray.
Christian Gray is definitely the bad guy.
Horny as hell.
And he could also be the rich bad guy, too. Or he's like a combination of Nemo and Dorian Gray.
Moriarty, I'm thinking Gordon Gekko.
Moriarty, he's a guy that wants to profit off of selling military tech.
The guy from Jurassic World, he wants to sell the raptors to the military.
Vincent D'Onofrio character.
Recognizable character for sure.
his name is Bub in the in Jurassic World.
The guy in the suit from Lilo and Stitch.
Yes.
we need a good one for Rodney's. What is a comparable superpower in the 21st century to the Invisible Man?
Like it's stealth and shit. I mean, it's kind of tough to just not without being invisible, being that close. Maybe a hacker. I don't know.
Stealthy.
A drone operator
in a shipping container in Nevada.
It's a gamer. It's ninja, dude.
Yeah, it's ninja.
It's ninja.
Yeah, make it ninja. Fuck it.
It's fucking Tyler Blevins.
Maybe he'll retweet us if we make that and put that up.
Ninja, okay.
Then you gotta do ninja parentheses Tyler Blevins.
Yeah.
Ninja parentheses Tyler double parentheses ninja in parentheses Blevins in first parentheses.
Yes.
Got that?
I get where you're going. Are we going with Moriarty?
I just put Gordon Gekko just to get the retweets.
What about Martin Shkreli?
Shkreli. Ooh.
Shkreli.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, but the point is they got to be fictional.
Oh, true.
Oh, well, what about Ninja?
Ninja is real, but I feel like he could be
Tyler Blevins is not the character. Ninja's the character.
True. Ninja's a personality.
So, like, Tyler Blevins is the one who
we're not even saying that Tyler Blevins is going to be in the movie. We're saying someone's going to play Ninja.
Just like saying Tyler Blevins.
It's a fun ass name.
Who's another? Okay, I can punt on Gekko, but who's another rich,
like, evil character?
Rich movie characters.
Rich evil bad guys.
Wealthiest fictional characters.
Literally, I just looked it up. Moriarty's the first one that came up.
I didn't even know he was supposed to be considered rich.
Yeah, he's a wealthy dude.
Ooh, Patrick Bateman, that'd be gross.
Tony Montana.
Eh.
Carlisle Colon.
Who the fuck is that?
It's supposed to be worth billions of dollars. The dad from the Vampire Family in Twilight?
Oh.
Because he's so old. Smaug the Dragon. He's pretty rich.
Got to.
Smaug.
Richie Rich.
He is rich. That's in his name.
Tywin Lannister.
What about
Goku? What about Vegeta?
Goku's notoriously poor, but Vegeta is rich. Because he's married into money.
Jeff hates us so much.
No, I'm scanning the list. Maybe it is Les Grossman.
The Capsule Corporation is very rich.
What about the guys from Trading Places? Too deep of a cut.
What about Malfoy's dad?
I think you and I are on the same exact site.
I looked up rich bad guys and I'm just looking through Google Images. I didn't even go into a list. Vegeta would be. I actually kind of like Vegeta, but I don't think he knows like money as a concept. He was like a really greedy bad guy.
This was tough. Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil would be good. I mean, that's just, it's kind of like the same vein.
The thing is, the character's got to be able to pull someone in. Got to set up the ruse.
I don't know, maybe just stick with Gordon Gekko.
Who's the worst sports owner?
The worst sports owner?
James Dolan.
Yeah. But he's also real, which runs us back into the same problem.
Mm.
Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor would be good. I think he's somebody where he fits that same sort of vein of character, you know?
I don't hate the Lex Luthor. I'll make sure he's our boy. And, you know, I can use Jesse Eisenberg, too.
Perfect. And people get so mad.
All right. I kind of like that. So our League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is Christian Grey and Lex Luthor against Indiana Jones, Tony Stark, Harley Quinn, Jack Ryan, Bruce Banner and the Hulk, and Ninja. Not Tyler Blevins.
Yeah, not Tyler Blevins. Be very clear about this.
Let's be specific. We aren't talking about Tyler Blevins. We're talking about Ninja.
Don't get confused.
We're going to do Bond rankings next week on our midweek episode, along with GoldenEye. You guys want to play a box office game before we close it out here?
Let's do it real quick.
Sounds good to me.
Here we go. Let me pull up the list. Sean Connery.
Filmography.
The 31st box office game. You guys, I had a good win last time. You're 23-7. By the way, this movie, the combined score, we have a 33, a 25, a 30, and a 42 for a total score of 32.5. Easily one of the worst movies we've reviewed. That is the second worst movie we've reviewed.
Jeez.
LXG comes in at a 32.5. It does not beat out. It does not lose to Green Lantern, though, which is still the worst we've seen.
Okay. First guess is going to be Last Crusade.
My first guess is The Rock before anything.
Yes, that too.
Okay. Okay. Last Crusade and The Rock.
Okay. Yeah. You're 2 for 2.
What numbers?
You have 1 and 3.
Indiana
Jones is 1. The Rock is 3.
Yeah, boy, I told you.
Damn, dude. Good job.
Untouchables, maybe?
I think that Robin... Do you count Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? Because that made a shit ton of money.
He has a...
He's an uncredited cameo. Yes. If it's not in your list, don't worry about it.
It counts.
He shows up at the end. It's a big moment.
Then yes.
Yes, it's Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, for some reason, made a lot of money.
Yes, that's 1, 2, and 3 you have now.
Highlander movies. I like the Highlander movies, but they didn't make shit. Hunt for Red October, probably.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good bet.
You guessing that?
Yeah.
All right, so you have 4 or 5. That was the last one. You need number 4.
Number 4. The Man Who Would Be King, no.
Did you say The Untouchables?
The Untouchables, yeah. I think The Untouchables is probably up there. I just don't know if it made as much.
Was there any, like...
Finding Forrester. That's an ultimate TV cart movie growing up. I watched that in school so many times, but I don't think that made money.
I bet it's the league. I bet it's the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah, true. Fuck.
Guessing that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is number 6.
Oh! Ooh.
Shit.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Shit.
Yeah, that's all not right. Good.
What about 2 Entrapment? Left. Did Entrapment make a lot of money?
Man, I don't know.
Entrapment was a pretty big movie.
Bridge Too Far? No, that was...
Remember it had the Kuala Lumpur, the Patronus Towers in it, and had Catherine Zeta-Jones? You know, who married Catherine Zeta-Jones? Michael Douglas.
Mm-hmm. It's a fact. And he got... I remember he got throat cancer.
Where'd he get sick? Where'd he get sick from, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Drink from that tap.
eating too much of that sweet, sweet nectar. You think any of the James Bond movies residually made even close? I don't think so.
No. And I don't know how much these movies made, but if I had to guess...
What was
number 1? Indiana Jones? Mm-hmm. Like, that had to be over 300 million.
It was 474 million.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you that when it's number 1. I'm okay telling you that one.
So I think, honestly, because of just the skew to older movies and the fact that League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was number 6, Entrapment was a pretty big movie.
Why not? We have it. Guess it.
Yeah, that's number 4.
Nice. Good
That's
job,
the win.
Girl.
That's the win again.
He has a really weird filmography in the sense where he did 1, 2, 3 movies since 1999.
Yeah. It's so here's how it went. Leo Stirner, Gentleman, made $179 million. Hunt for Red October made $201 million. Entrapment made $212 million. The Rock made $335 million. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves made $390 million, and Indiana Jones made $474 million. I was going to tell you the Bond ones, but we're going to do Bond next week. We'll probably do a Bond game with Large, so I'll hold off on that. But, yeah, that's your list. The boys win again.
I'm going to put that baby to bed, 7, and then I'm going – are you guys doing a movie watch tonight?
We're not. We're doing – so this week we have Monday. We have Double Teamed on Disney Plus. Tuesday night we have Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, Greg Brunberg. Thursday night we have Creed 2, and then we have kind of a roaming date on Inglourious Basterds. I think you should join that one. That's with Marty Mush fights and Casey again.
Yeah, yeah, I like that crew. Yeah. I thought the crew with Roan, which like now that we know Roan is okay, I was kind of worried about his health there.
He puked. He threw
did
up.
In fact puke.
Is that where he left to do? Is that what he did?
Pretty sure.
Well, yeah. He left because we said he got snapped. I think knowing Roan, who's got great comedic timing, is like, this would be funny. I'm probably going to puke anyway. Let me just get up. But yeah, Trill joined us for Avengers Infinity War. It was a very funny stream. Very funny. We got a little off track. I know people still complain like, talk about the movie. But I think it was very fun.
It's fun. You're there to hang out and have fun.
It was a good time. We will remember to stay on track. I know that's the big, but I think for the most part we did, because guess what? In the end, we were talking about the movie. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot more this week. But yeah, no, tonight, nothing. Nothing at all tonight.
I'm gonna play some Nier Automata.
What?
It's a new game I'm playing. NIER Automata.
Do you still play that really crappy Apple game? The arcade?
The hockey game?
Yeah.
No, I deleted that shit. I deleted Apple Arcade. Okay. I'm not paying for that anymore. I can't do it. There's nothing good there.
Definitely for the best.
I mean, I get there's like a limitations of how you interact with your device, but you think like in the last 10 years of apps and games, we could have figured out a better mechanism for playing a game on your phone than just like keep tapping.
Keep on tapping, baby. Flappy Bird had it down. Remember that guy deleted the game?
Yeah. It's true hero.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people remember that though.
All right, I'm going to go eat. I'm going to go have a light dinner of chicken breast and fingerling potatoes.
Ooh.
And then I'm going to take a shower, and I'm going to scrub my body with some exfoliating body wash.
Can you watch?
I'm only on my OnlyFans.
Put me on that FaceTime. All right, let's wrap this sucker up.
I'll put the cake on the glass.
All right, Golden Eye, middle of the week, and we're doing Bond rankings. I'm very excited for that one because I ain't waiting for fucking No Time to Die to come out. Get out of here. For Ken Jack and Troll Bones, I'm Jeff Lowe. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Have a new good week at the home streaming services stuff. To the death of me. Somebody out there can bitch off the dogs I do. Somebody out there picking up every dollar I lose. If I say they'll not treat me like a fool. Somebody out there getting rich on the drugs I do. Young things in the old school. No lies, what I told you. Yeah. Showed him what I showed you. Yeah. Now I know that you're cold too. Yeah. Young girl tryna OD. Yeah. Off the field when she hold me. Yeah. You know, but I wanna leave. Oh. Ain't no price on my net worth. Can't tax when I sell work. Get there, but it's hell first. But it's hell first. Somebody out there getting rich off the drugs I do. Somebody out there picking up every dollar I lose. If I stay, they'll not treat me like a fool. Somebody out there getting rich off the drugs I do.
off the drugs I do. Somebody out there picking up every dollar I lose. If I stay down, they'll treat me like a fool. Somebody out there getting rich off all the drugs. Somebody out there getting rich off the drugs I do. Somebody out there picking up every dollar I lose.